and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. I'm Jason Logan. That guy there is former odds maker turned professional gambler Todd Furman, and this is week 17 of the NFL season. We have a packed podcast for today. We're not screwing around here. It's Christmas. There's no room for fun. It is serious business. It's a work trip today, but we're going all out jailbreak blitz for our best bets on the three Thursday games on Christmas Day. We are going to cover the two Saturday games. We're going to give our best touchdown bets for week 17. And then, of course, we're going to wrap it all up, rapid fire bets with the 2-minute drill. And we're going to pack it all into 600 seconds. So, Todd, I hope you're hydrated and ready to go. But I do have a question for you. This is a weird week with the three games and the Saturday. But it's also just a weird season. I can't remember there being so many variables up in the air at this point in the year when it comes to like division races, playoff spots, playoff seeding, wildcard tickets, hell, even who's going to be the number one pick in the draft might be at stake this week. A lot of these things get baked in. We always talk about that, get baked in by the odds makers. But is there anything here in week 17 with all of this on the table still? Is there anything that doesn't really get accounted for or may fall between the cracks?
I think you're going to want to monitor the injury reports like always, J-Lo, but it feels like outside of quarterbacks, where we know we'll get to one game in the Kansas City Chiefs, they're on their third string starter. A lot of these teams are dealing with some cluster injuries at the offensive line position, and oftentimes that gets overlooked. So while I'm not telling people to go deep into the depth charts when they're handicapping all of these games, try and figure out if a team is on its second or third string right or left tackle, there's a couple positions that are down. Oftentimes, odds makers don't have that reflected in the number nearly enough, and I'm hoping that's where we can get a little bit of betting opportunity and upside, aside from fading the likes of maybe a Josh Johnson, a Max Brosmer, or Chris Oladokun, that we'll all get to see playing a lovely Christmas.
We don't know who any of those guys are, right? Except, yeah, we remember Josh.
A little bit of coal in the stocking goes a long way. At least that's what I've been told.
At least we get to bet on those games. At least there's odds to keep us entertained. And before we bet on those games, before we start the clock for week 17, we ask that you rate and review the podcast. You like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. I know it's a busy holiday week, but we like to throw 600 piping hot seconds at you every single week. So we just ask for a few seconds in return for those reviews, for those comments, for those likes. It helps us expand the podcast, helps us talk to a lot more sports bettors, and they really do help. All right, Todd, let's put the countdown to Christmas to the side. Let's go 600 seconds on the clock for NFL Week 17. All right, Todd, we told you, no messing around here. We're diving right into it. Let's see how the Dallas Cowboys can ruin my Christmas Day. They take on Washington. What bets do you like in this early one? It's gone from 5.5 up to 7. Mariota with a banged up ham.
Well, the Cowboys ruined my last Sunday, so it's only fair if they ruin your Christmas Day, given that pathetic offensive performance and the surprise inactive status
for Quinnen
Williams. I said,
it's your funeral.
It's Quinnen Williams. He's supposed to play logs a full on Friday, and then, of course, he's out because of the concussion. But you know what? I think the Cowboys' offense will flourish here against the Commanders' defense, and that's the side of the ball I want to attack. So I'll take the Cowboys to register more than 3.5 touchdowns, plus $1.10 at Bet365. This Commanders' defense is an abject disaster. I'm not sure if Washington is going to push them, but Dak Prescott should be able to pad his stats. I think all the Cowboys players go bananas. And as long as Mother Nature doesn't rain on our parade, I think the Cowboys get the 28 points or more with 4+ touchdowns.
Sticking it to DQ, I guess. Revenge game for DQ. But no, hopefully they're all passing touchdowns, because I'm taking Javonte Williams to go under 74.5 yards rushing, minus 110. Williams dealing with a neck injury coming out of the Chargers game. But even in the second half of the season, we've seen his production diminish. The tread on the tires wearing a little thin. We're getting more from Malik Davis. And Coach Schottenheimer was asked, hey, you're going to start like, you know, giving the second, third string guys a little more run. And while he didn't like say yes, he didn't say no. Williams has gone over 75-yard bar just once in his past four games. I think it's a short week to get healthy. I think Dallas spread the loves around on Christmas Day. Gives everyone a little touch, a little run. So I like his under 74.5 yards rushing. Let's go. This is probably the better game of the day considering the injuries, but we still might have a QB injury in this one. Detroit and Minnesota. What do you like in this NFC North one?
I'm going to go under 44.5, J-Lo. Look, Max Brosmer, I don't want to try and throw the baby out with the bathwater, but the Vikings clearly don't trust him to stretch the field. This Lions defense was embarrassed by the Pittsburgh Steelers last week. Their season's hanging in the balance. I think they're going to sell out to stop the run against a banged-up Vikings backfield. They don't have to truly respect the pass. And the one thing we've seen, Minnesota has had a blueprint in the past for heating up Jared Goff, and a Lions offense that downed some playmakers, banged up on the O-line. I think defense can rule the day in this divisional battle. I'll go under 44.5.
All right. Well, at least Jahmyr Gibbs can catch some balls, maybe get some receiving yards. I got him over 32 and a half yards receiving, minus 110. He's been one of the better pass catching backs in the second half of the season, and his rushing numbers have dwindled, as we saw last week, but his receiving numbers are up there, and he could be busy on Christmas. Like you said, the Vikings love to bring the blitz. They're very aggressive going against an O-line that is banged up. I think Gibbs is now that check down, that pressure release, now that the tight end position basically doesn't exist for the Lions. And St. Brown limping into this game as well, too. So he's drawn seven or more targets in five of his last six. He's gone over 33 yards in four of those games. I expect the Lions to have the football a lot, considering what we're seeing from the Minnesota offense as well, all those injuries on the offensive line. So over 32 and a half from Gibbs through the air. Final one, Denver or Kansas City on Christmas Day. What do you got?
I'd be making a case to try and take the Chiefs if the number got to 14. I wouldn't like myself by any stretch of the imagination. Fortunately, the market's not there, so we're going to go in a different direction. And we mentioned some of the offensive line injuries that are concerned. There is no bigger poster child for that than the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not sure Chiefs fans could name some of the guys that are going to be out there blocking for third-string quarterback Chris Oladokun against this tenacious Denver front. So you know what that means, J-Lo? A quarterback running for his life and hopefully picking up running yards when they become available. I'll take Oladokun over 15 and a half rushing yards. I have this number more in the mid-20s. I think his mobility is the only thing that might keep him from being the third Chiefs quarterback to end up on IR in as many weeks. Oladokun over rushing 15 and a half.
He is a jackrabbit. He can run, right? So
I'm
going with Troy Franklin. I'm going with 4+ receptions. It's a milestone market at Bet365. It's plus 150. Franklin was Bo Nix's favorite target for most of the season, but then we saw Pat Bryant starting to dig into that target share over the past few weeks. Bryant had a scary injury last week, concussion, probably not going to be playing in this Christmas game. Pumps Franklin's stats back up. He caught 4 more catches in 6 of his last 8, including the last 2 games. He had a nice day, 4 on 8 for 84 yards against the Chiefs back in November. You can find over 3.5, minus 106 out there, or you can go to Bet365, find plus 150, 4+ receptions for Franklin on the milestone market. Let's jump into the Saturday games real quick here. Houston and the LA Chargers, seems like this could be the game of the week. A lot of AFC water and weight in this one as well. What do you like?
Yeah, Chargers quietly suddenly have a chance to be the number one seed if they win out now and get a little bit of help. We'll see if that unfolds. But the division very much on the table for them at this point in the AFC West. But I'm going to go Justin Herbert under his passing total at 219.5. Look, okay. Herbert absolutely shredded the Cowboys last week, but this is a significant step up in class. I think the Chargers will run the football. They're not that concerned about what Houston can do offensively on the other side of the ball. What goes up must come down, and I think Justin Herbert, hand right, hand left, I'm going under his passing total.
All right, so you go under, and I'll go over his rushing total of 18.5. And it, like I said, this is a playoff-like battle, and in these kind of high-stakes showdowns, what do we see? We see QBs having to make plays with their legs, and he has the wheels to do it. He had 42 rushing yards against Dallas. Houston can get after the quarterback, but we have seen them give up yards to mobile quarterbacks, guys like Josh Allen and Mahomes, Lawrence, Bo Nix. They all had 20 or more rushing yards against him, against the Houston Texans. Yards are going to be hard to come by, and I think he picks them up however he can, over 18.5 rushing yards. Last one on Saturday, this was supposed to be Lamar and Love and a really great game. Might be more backups. Baltimore, Green Bay. How do we pick this one apart?
Yeah, very real possibility. It's Tyler Huntley against Clayton Tune for the Green Bay Packers. Look, the Baltimore Ravens haven't been mathematically eliminated from the postseason yet. So what do you do in a game like this? You run early, you run often, and you make sure the highest leverage drive of the game, Derrick Henry, is actually on the football field. I'm going to take Derrick Henry to go over his rushing total in the mid-70s. I think the Packers are vulnerable in the trenches. Derrick Henry, 20+ touches, and I think he has a chance to flirt with the century mark.
We are betting the same bet in this game. Yeah, Derrick Henry over 74.5. I bet him last. It's December, and the only guy that delivers more in December than Santa is Derrick Henry. Look at the last 3 games. 94, 100, 128 yards last week. It's simple. It's straightforward, and that is how he runs that ball. And the Packers been pushed around on the ground here recently as well, too. Gave up 150 yards to the Bears. So yeah, let's go Derrick Henry. Team bet. Team ride on that late Saturday game. Time for some anytime touchdown bets. Odds provided by Bet365. Todd, I'll get us started. Betting touchdowns, more specifically betting tight end touchdowns versus the Cincinnati Bengals, has become a tradition here on the Sharp 600. And this being the season where traditions mean a little more, why would I stray from that in week 17? You're going to give me the worst defense versus tight ends against the best tight end in the league. And you're going to give me plus 115 for him to score a touchdown in a game with a total around 54 points? Talking Trey McBride, touchdown anytime, plus 115. It's low-hanging fruit, but it's delicious.
You know, J-Lo, I actually had this one written down as well, but I wrote down two because I thought there was a good chance that you would go in the direction of Trey McBride. So I'll go to a wide receiver against this vaunted Chargers defense and look at Nico Collins. He was inconspicuously absent when it came to scoring touchdowns last game against the much maligned Las Vegas Raiders, a little bit of an afterthought. But I think in jump ball scenarios, that's where C.J. Stroud has to go. I know it's going to be a lower scoring game, but Nico at plus $1.50 or better, which I know Bet365 offers. I think Nico finds pay dirt in a pivotal game, a playoff revenge type scenario, though, on behalf of the Chargers.
Mm-hmm. Time to run that two-minute drill, rapid-fire bets for Week 17 odds, of course, provided by Bet365. Todd, I'll start the run here. Going Chicago Bears, San Francisco 49ers, going over 51.5. Over 51 points, minus 110. These are two of the better offenses in the second half of the year. Top 10 in EPA, top 10 specifically in EPA per pass. And the Bears have put up a ton of points against some tough defensive opponents recently. Played the Packers twice, Philly, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Minnesota, San Francisco. Probably the weakest defense they've seen since they smoked, 47 points on the Bengals? Niners, too, scoring a ton. I think this total is way too low, over 51 points.
And I'm going to stay in the same game, but I'm going to take a side here. I did toy with the Chicago Bears team total going over, as I think their offense is actually going to push the 49ers out of their comfort zone. A couple of injuries that we're going to monitor. I know we're recording early this week. Let's see if Rome Odunze and Luther Burden are up for the Bears. And George Kittle didn't finish the game for the 49ers, so we're going to want to monitor that. But I think the Bears having 2.5 days of a rest advantage this late in the season with everything to play for is too hard for me to ignore. The 49ers, we've seen, have been the definition of an even. They play a complete game one week, and the next week they kind of let down. I think the Bears' offense absolutely cooks. They score 30-plus. The 49ers play catch-up. The game goes over the total, and the Bears win outright, but I'll take the three.
That's a fun Sunday night game right there, right? Yeah, all right. Next bet for me, Jacksonville going double result, the first half full game. It's minus 105. The Jags get the Colts on the short week after they got rolled by San Francisco Monday Night Football. And Jacksonville has been one of the best offenses in the first half all season, especially the last 3 weeks. 76 total points scored in the first half over the last three games. And the Jags defense, much stiffer than the Niners. They can get after Rivers, who is playing behind kind of a patchwork offensive line now. They lost their starting center last night, their right guard. They've got some injuries on the left side of that line too. So I like the Jags to win the first half, win the full game, minus 105.
The interesting storyline there too, J-Lo, there's a chance that we see Riley Leonard get the nod instead of Phillip Rivers now the Colts have basically been all but eliminated from the playoffs. So I'm interested to see how that story brews as the week goes on. Look, last week I took an ugly duckling, bet him on the money line, and that's why I'm wearing my Titan blue today. I don't have a lot of brown and orange in my closet, but I'm going to take yet another ugly duckling. And thankfully my wife isn't with a earshot, but I'm not going to bet him on the money line. I'm going to take him plus the points because it's such a low total. Give me the Cleveland Browns, +3.5. J-Lo, you and I have watched football long enough to know the Steelers cannot be trusted with nice things. Right. Everything in front of them, this is the kind of spot where they're going to play it tight to the vest. They're going to be conservative, and it may take a Chris Boswell field goal late in ugly conditions. Give me the Brownies to try and play spoiler. I'll take down +3.5.
Yeah, here it is. Under Tomlin as a road favorite of more than a field goal, so -3.5 or higher, they are 17-29-2. That is a 37.5% cover rate for the Pittsburgh Steelers since 2007. Whoa. That is nasty. And that is the horn for the Week 17 edition here of the Sharp 600. A big thanks to Chris behind the scene, producer, for making us look good, always. Thank you, Todd. Big thanks to Bet365. And a big thanks and a happy holidays to you listening or watching to the podcast. Before we go, we do ask again that it is the season of giving, so give us a rating, give us a review, give us the thumbs up, leave a comment. Subscribe to the Covers YouTube channel. Some awesome sports coming up this week. Of course, NBA Christmas Day, College Bowls going on into the new year, and a big Week 17. Todd, Week 18 odds are coming soon, and that is always tricky, but it's one of the most, to me, it's one of the most fun times to handicap. Very much reminds me of the preseason, where it is just a race to information when we have info on starters and coaching plans, whatever comes. What do we need to keep an eye on? When should we be ready to run to the window? There, I got it out.
You know, this is the week where people hopefully are home between Christmas and New Year's so they can sit by their screens, monitor their social media feeds, and be willing to hit click, 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 click as soon as that information gets out about what players may or may not be available. Mm-hmm. Although, J-Lo, it's a little bit different this season because so many teams feel like they already have their playoff seeds sewn up, mm-hmm. And we're trying to figure out what these matchups are going to look like. But this takes on much more of a preseason feel above all else. Mm-hmm. Be sure to monitor those feeds and realize you're going to see some unorthodox numbers that are out there as teams look to try and shift their focus towards the postseason instead of putting all hands on deck for Week 18. And take advantage of the information that's out there. This is truly the rat race between better and bookmaker because the books are just doing a lot of guesswork, especially since now they do hang early lines on Sundays. Mm-hmm. I'm such a dinosaur, J-Lo. We used to keep a lot of games that had uncertainty off the board until late in the week and not hang numbers until Friday until we had a clearer picture of what players were or weren't going to be available.
The glory days, they don't let you do that anymore.
No, they don't. But you know what? It gets even harder now with the apps. I mean, we had guys coming over the counter. They wanted to bet games. I go, wait a second. I don't know that information is widely available. I'm going to take the bet. And within 20 to 30 minutes, oh, yeah, by the way, 7 starters have been ruled out. You sit there, you tip your hat, and you move on. Or if you're a smart bookmaker in those days, you take the information over the counter at your shop. Mm. You try and send one of your friends out to bet it at somebody else's shop. And then the whole market goes haywire. But different story for a different day and a lot of behind-the-scenes look at how, you know, creative we used to get, for lack of a better term, when given the opportunity to make a buck or two.
Very good. I enjoyed that. We will be back next week for NFL Week 18, the Wild Week 18. Until then, best of luck with your bets and have a great Christmas.